figured, well, let we'll get this figured out so our brother doesn't have to struggle with it. Hallelujah. Are you happy?
Yeah.
I was happy when they said, let us go into the house.
Yeah.
You know, it sure beats the alternative. We have a choice. I choose to be happy. But it's not a trial. There's a lot of things to be happy for. And we are so happy to have Brother Andrew and Sister Mariah with us this morning. They've come a long way I think he was the last visiting minister that we had, and then he was the last one we had before COVID struck. So he's been a real encouragement, and I'm sure I'm expecting the Lord to use him again this morning. And we thank him for his friendship and for his burden for God's people, his consecration, his desire to serve. And I think God has vindicated that in his life. That as you know, you'll get out of something what you expect. So expect great things. But, you know, recognizing that that God does everything. He God is an overachiever. He exceeds our expectations. So sometimes we wish we would have expected more. Sometimes we're, each one of us, no matter who we are, sometimes we're surprised, and we really shouldn't be, but sometimes we are. But he's an on-time God. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what we need. So we're just committing everything into his hands and just looking forward to another great time in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So is this on now? There we are. Hallelujah. So I'll just use this and hand it over to him this morning. So we got pretty much a full house here this morning as far as what we can seat because of the spread out chairs and what have you. And praise the Lord. Now why is that turned sideways? Come on. There we go. So we'll have our brother come out in just a moment, but let's sing that song, He Counts the Stars, as our brother prepares to make his way up. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my name. He knows my name. Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I just had one other announcement that I failed to make here. So happy 7th anniversary, Mike and Jill. Doesn't seem like it's been 7 years, does it? Oh. Yeah, praise the Lord. And they're here. Praise the Lord. Brother Andrew, God bless you. So nice to have you with us. And thank you for the sacrifice. We know that, you know, doing the work of an evangelist is, it's never an easy job, but in these kind of times to still be out on the road and preaching the gospel, the good news. Thank you for your sacrifice. God bless you.
Knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, hear that I cry. He knows my name, overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Oh yes, one more time with all of our hearts. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, whelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day, I know I'll be just fine. It's my name. Amen. You believe that today? Amen. The world is falling apart this morning. They don't know which way to turn, which direction to go. There's a God in heaven this morning that knows exactly what we have need of. Amen. If He counts the stars, if He knows everything about every planet, surely He knows about His bride this morning. Let's just bow our hearts together this morning. Heavenly Father, and Lord, what a privilege and honor it is to be a Christian here today. And Lord, to be gathered together with believers of like precious faith. And Lord, to be in your presence this morning. And Lord, to know that all things are still possible to them that believe. Lord, as we gather here today, we do not gather out of form or fashion, Lord. We do not gather out of ritual or tradition. And Lord, we don't gather, Lord, just to be here in a religious service this morning. But Father, we know that these services, Lord, are supernatural. Lord, this is where demon powers are broken and strongholds lose hold over the lives of your children. And Lord, this is where healing takes place and miracles are manifested. Lord, empty vessels are filled and sealed with your Spirit. And Lord, as we gather here today, we don't gather expecting anything less, Lord. But we come here this morning expecting you to move among us today. Father, I believe this morning that there's many needs among us. No doubt many needs maybe by those not able to be here watching by the way of the internet, Father. But I know you're not limited to a building. You're not limited, Lord, to just a certain location. But Lord, while we're here gathered, I believe you can go into homes and you can go into hospital rooms. You can, Lord, go into nursing homes. Wherever your believers would be this morning, I pray the angels of God would go there and minister to their needs. Father, I pray you would help us this morning. We've been taught anyone with physical strength can open your word. Lord, anyone can turn the pages, Lord, and they can, Lord, just the ability of education can read the words up on the pages. But this morning, Lord, if there'll be anything of eternal value, it'll take you to come and open these pages. Lord, it'll take you to come and speak to our lives. So this morning, God, I'm asking your mercy and grace, Lord. Help us to get ourselves out of the way today, Lord. Lord, anoint us afresh today, dear God. Father, may this service this morning, may it be another Emmaus walk, Lord. Lord, may your children be touched by your presence, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. And all the believers said, amen and amen. God bless you this morning. You love the Lord. Amen. Are you happy to be a Christian here today? Amen. If you have your Bibles while you're standing with us, we'll invite you in the scriptures to the book of Genesis, the first chapter. And while you're turning there, we want to greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. Sure good to see everyone out in the house of God today. And sure appreciate Brother Doug, appreciate his friendship, appreciate him allowing us to come by and be with you this weekend in the service. And we've just been out here ministering a few days, a couple places. And so it's no better way to end the trip than 70 degrees in the sun. Amen. And so we actually, back home, I think they got 5 or 6 inches of snow. And last I heard, it was still coming down. So I think maybe some of the folks back home are watching this morning. So we want to say God bless you to them and bring greetings from our pastor, Brother Sean Martin, and the assembly there at home. And we sure love the Lord. And I'm sure glad to have my wife here with me this weekend. I told her last night, I appreciate you coming out here and staying about 8 days with us. And good to have her with us, and been gone for a few days. But we sure thank the Lord for her and her coming with us this weekend and the sacrifices to be here. And this morning, if you have your Bibles, the book of Genesis, the first chapter, I want to look here in the 26th verse. I know these are all very, very familiar scriptures to you here in Genesis, the 26th chapter, or 21st, or first chapter in the 26th verse. We'll get it right in a minute. The Bible here says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Notice here, male and female. Now, I know there's a huge confusion and contradiction on this today, but let's just take what the Bible says. He created male and female. Created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Also, I'd like to look here in the book of Revelations, the third chapter. Revelation, the third chapter. I want to look there in just one verse, the 17th verse. Revelation 3. Very familiar scripture to us as message believers to be reading from the age we're living in. Here in Revelation 3, in verse 17, Jesus speaking to the Laodicean church age said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." The prophet of God will call that verse, "and knoweth it not." "Knoweth it not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." We ask the Lord this morning to add the blessing to the reading of his word, as you may have your seats here for just a few moments this morning. From those scriptures, if the Lord would help me, I'd like to speak to you. And if I would title this today, I want to speak to you on an identity crisis. An identity crisis. I truly believe that we are believers this morning. I believe we're message believers here today. And we believe we're not following a fable. We're not following a cunningly devised story or something that a man has put together. But we believe this morning we are following the truth. It's not just any kind of truth, but it's the vindicated truth. And I'll say it like this. Jesus would say that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, the prophet of God says here in the message, the faith of Abraham, he said, "Now to you in radio land, this might seem very strange to you, but I sometimes just kind of, I like to sometimes kind of baby along with the peoples." He said, "But it comes a time, and it is now, where you've got to know what's the truth." He said, "The people forget who they are." He said, "You're just not an ordinary person. You are a Christian, you are sons and daughters of God by the grace of God." He said, "See, the time has come, and it is now that you've got to know what's the truth." See, the people forget who they are. He says, "You're not just an ordinary person, but you are a Christian." He said, "You are sons and daughters daughters of God by the grace of God. Now this morning, we are not going to be the sons and daughters of God. We are not going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. But by revelation this morning, we know that we are now the sons and daughters of God. He said, then why should you be in the condition you're in? Why should you be doubting and have frustrations? Another place he says, many times God lets us when we get all bound up with the world. He said, bound up, he lets fiery tests come upon us where we have to make a decision. Now, amen, when you speak of an identity crisis, the word crisis means a time of intense difficulty. Yeah. It's a time of trouble. It's a time of danger. It's a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. It's a critical period. It's a critical point. It's a turning point. It is a crossroads. So a crisis, amen, is a time of intense difficulty. Now, it could be a time of difficulty, but when a crisis comes on, it's more intense. There's more pressure. There's more force behind the times that you're living in. The prophet said, see, he said, when we do that, the only thing the test can do, he said, when a real seed of Abraham is standing at the crossroads of a decision and he makes his decision to serve God, it can only cut the bands loose and make us free. Now notice here, amen, when a son of God or a daughter of God is in a crisis, amen, at a crossroads, at a difficult time, he said, see, they're bound. He said, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. He said, but their decision, amen, actually is what sets them free. Now think about that. Amen. The three Hebrew boys were down there in the fiery furnace. Amen. They were bound under all them rules and all them things that if you don't bow down, we'll throw you in the fire. They were bound under that. Amen. But when the fourth man come down and they made a decision, we will not bow and we will not bend, their decision actually released them, amen, in the time of crisis. And I'll say this evening, or this morning rather, amen, we are in a crisis. Amen. Our world is falling apart. Amen. The politics are falling apart. Religion is falling apart. Everything is falling apart and nobody knows which way to turn and what to do and where to go. Amen. But this morning, church, amen, the reason why we're free is because we have made a decision. Amen. No matter what the world does, no matter what the government does, no matter what the Catholic Church does, we're going to serve, amen, the living God. Amen. We're going to call upon the living God to think this morning. Amen. There is no crisis. Amen. There is no question. Right here this morning, we are living in a time of crisis. Can I name some of the crisis we're living in? We're living in a world crisis. Amen. We're living in a national crisis. We're living in a financial crisis. We're living in a political crisis. Amen. Believe it or not, we're living in a religious crisis. Amen. Now you realize it's in the time of crisis, amen, that you call a conference. It's in the time of a crisis that a conference is called. And the Bible says in Isaiah the first chapter, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. Now notice here, the prophet said, that's why we're here tonight, is in a conference. He said, this conference is when we get together. We've had them in the nation. Here in the last World War, many of you people my age and quite a bit younger can remember the Second World War when they had the conferences, and we wonder what conferences are and what they are for. He said, it's for them to take the most intelligent of the group and to come together and try to work out some strategy to do something. In a time of crisis is when they call conferences together. He said, be a wonderful time to have one in the universal church of the living God, wouldn't it? He said, on account of the crisis that we're facing, he said, communism and all the things, the isms of the world, and the church is cooling off. He said, the church is cooling off, but it's time for us to come together and to reason together on these things. Amen. When the church begins to cool off, amen, when the world is in a crisis, amen, it's not the time to divide and conquer, it's the time to unite, amen, and move forward as the church of the living God. And let me say this, what is happening in our world is not going to get any better, amen. It is an attack from the pits of hell, amen, to cool the church off, amen, to cool the power of God off. But we are not here this morning, amen, trying to figure out a way of how we can deal with the coldness that's in the church, trying to figure figure out a way how we can deal with the formalism and the lukewarmness that's in the church. But we have gathered here this morning, amen, with the most intelligence of all intelligence, not to find a way on how to deal with it, amen, but find a way to defeat it. What are you saying? I'm saying this. We can defeat lukewarmness. We can defeat complacency. We can defeat formalism. We can defeat idolatry. We can defeat everything the devil is trying to bring in the church in the time of crisis. We are not called, amen, to lay down and accept it. We are not called, amen, to embrace the spirits of this last day. But we have been called as the mighty army of the living God to defeat these things in the hour in which we are living. Amen. We have the privilege this morning, amen, of having a conference. Amen. Do you realize when you have a conference, the prophet said you invite, amen, the most intelligent people. Amen. You find the most, amen, if you're having a religious crisis conference, you invite the most intelligent religious people you can find. If you're having a national crisis, you invite the most intelligent people that works in the national realm you can find. Amen. But if we're having a God conference, amen, if we're having a church conference, we have the privilege here this morning, amen, of inviting not a source, amen, but the source of intelligence, amen, into our conference. Amen. The prophet said, who before there was even an atom in the air or a molecule in Adam, you were God. Yes, sir. And in this great big being called God, there was attributes. There was an attribute to be a father, an attribute to be God, an attribute to be a healer, to be a savior. And there was nothing to save or nothing to worship. He said, so you were just the great source of intelligence. Another place, when God ever makes a decision, it ever has to remain that way. He cannot change. He cannot get smarter. He is the source of all intelligence. Amen. And no matter what, amen, no matter what our science says, if it's against the intelligence of the Word of God, it's contrary. It's not right. I don't care how scientific it can be proved, it's still wrong. Amen. Now, what does John 1 say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Amen. See, in the beginning was the intelligence, and the intelligence was God, and the intelligence was with God, and the intelligence became flesh. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning, church, if we've got the Word in the church, we have got the source of supreme intelligence. We have got the mind of God. We have got the thoughts of God. We have got the vision of God in the church of God by the Word of God. Amen. Now let me say it like this. Jesus would say, you search the scriptures. Amen. You search the intelligence. Amen. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If someone can't see those things, we can't blame them. If I couldn't see anything, of course I wouldn't say anything about it. But first thing, I'd sit down and look up in the scriptures and see if it was the Bible first, because that's where all truth comes from, the Bible. Amen. All truth, amen, comes from the Bible. What is the message? It's the message of the hour. It's the message of truth. Amen. Then all truth has got to have a source. And the source of truth this morning is the Word of God. I say this morning, church, we wouldn't have a crisis in the White House had they stayed with the Word. We wouldn't have a crisis in the religious world had they stayed with the Word. Our finances wouldn't be falling apart on the stock market had they stayed with the Word. But when they left the Word and they come to a crossroads and they made a decision, we can make it without the Word, they went into utter confusion. But here this morning is a bride that is not in confusion. She is not looking, amen, to move without the Word. She is the Word by the authority and the intelligence of the Almighty God. Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning. Amen. I'm not talking about just anybody being here. I'm talking about God is here. Amen. I'm not talking about President Trump or Biden or Obama or his mama. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. The God that stepped out on nothing and created everything is the God that is in this building this morning. And if you got questions, he's got answers. If you got sickness, he's got healing. If you got trouble, he's got deliverance. If you've got impossibilities, he's got miracles. What is he, church? He's the source. Amen. The source of all intelligence has come down to call a conference. Oh, mercy. Wake up, church. He's the source. Amen. The source is here. Amen. You're not looking for intelligence. It's here this morning. Amen. The mastermind. Amen. The supreme architect. Amen. The master of all circumstances is in this building this morning. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying God is the author of communication. Before the telephone, telegram, telewire, email, text, whatever, he was the source of communication. See, the Bible says that God actually established a thing called call and answer. Amen. See, call and answer. In the book of Psalms 86, verse 6, the Bible says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications in the day of my trouble. In the day of my crisis, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. In Psalms 91:15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Amen. Notice here, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. You say, well, Brother Andrew, if I call you, there's a possibility you may not answer. You're right. Amen. Well, if I call Brother Doug, there's a possibility he may be busy and he cannot answer. Amen. But here's a God this morning, brother. Amen. Here's a God that said, if you'll just call, you'll never get a busy signal. If you'll just call, amen, you'll never get a voicemail. Amen. If you'll just call, I will answer. Listen, friends, we have got God this morning on written record. If his people will call on him, he will answer. And I didn't come here this morning, amen, for another intellectual gathering. I came here, amen, for some blind Bartimaeus, amen, to begin to call on the Lord and to begin to stop Jesus. You say, well, I'm going through this and I'm facing that and I don't know where to turn. Call on the Lord, church. He will answer. You say, Brother Andrew, but it's a time of crisis. Will he answer? I hope you see it. The character of the Pentecostal and Baptist and Presbyterian church. Our character should have us up to a place where we can be in any office to meet the crisis of this hour we're in. What a shame we are. He said, but will God answer in a time of crisis? He will not only answer. Are you hearing me? In the time of crisis, he will not only answer. He said, but he will make manifest in the time of crisis. Preacher, preach somebody. Amen. He will not only answer, but he will manifest in the time of crisis. So there's not a chance of is he going to answer. He's going to answer, but he's also going to back up that answer with manifestation. Amen. No matter if two or three, whatever it is, pray. He said he would hear from heaven. Now what does 2 Chronicles 7:14 say? If my people, which are called by my name, amen, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I, amen, hear from where? He will hear from heaven, amen, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. See, we Christians have got to, somebody shout got to. We've got to wake up to a reality, to a real, genuine faith. He said, tie to the word of God and plead that promise. If ye abide in me and my word in you, ask what you want. And then again, if the people that's called by my name shall assemble themselves together and pray, then I'll hear from heaven. He said, prayer meeting, that's it. Amen. You know why the devil hates a good old-fashioned prayer meeting? It's because he knows if the sons and daughters of God, amen, begin to call on God, something's fixing to change. Are you hearing me? Amen. When sons and daughters of God, amen, begin to call on God, amen, something is fixing to change. Amen. Just, amen, I know you can't shake hands, but just kind of nudge somebody next to you and say things are about to change. Amen. Something's about to change. When believers begin to call on God, amen, I knocked a guitar over. I'm sorry. Amen. When believers begin to call on God, amen, something is about to change. Listen, church, the devil will fight you from calling on God. God, because something is about to change. The devil will fight you when you get down on your knees and begin to pray, because something is about to change. Are you hearing me? Amen. Why is it when you get down to pray and all of a sudden your mind goes 1,000 different places? It's because something is getting ready to change. Amen. Why? Amen. Can you have a soup supper and the whole church will show up, but you announce a prayer meeting and 3 people show up? Because the devil knows if he can get the people out of prayer, then nothing will change. But when believers begin to pray, amen, then something is about to change. And I say this morning, church, it's high time, amen, to start praying. It's high time, amen, to start getting serious about talking to God. We need a change. Amen. Our young people need a change. Our homes need a change. Our families need a change. There's only one place that change is going to come from, and that is God. Amen. See, but the prophet God goes on to show us that in a prayer meeting, you call on God. God hears your call. He said, then he answers. He said, but the time will come that before they call, I will answer. Amen. The Bible says it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. See, before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. See, the prophet said they're gathered here this morning, yet under the heat of the weather, yet the glorious spirit of Jesus Christ is in the building and ready to make well the sick. Amen. Make ready to be satisfied to supply all that we have need of. He said, your heavenly Father knows the needs you have, amen, of these things before you even ask him. Now watch this. Amen. Before you even ask him, he knows what you have need of. Now notice this. How many knows that Israel was a nation? Amen. And Israel was in captivity. Amen. In Egypt. You see, what happened was they were in hard times under the Egyptians. They were there laboring and serving under the Egyptians. And the Bible says, amen, that everyone, paraphrasing, everyone had grown cold down there. Amen. Now, amen, it wasn't that they were backslid. Amen. But the condition and the atmosphere they was around was a cold atmosphere. It was a cold condition. It was a cold time. And the prophet said, did you know Israel was in it was Egypt twice as long as the United States has been a nation? He said, we're not over about 150 or 70 years old, something like that. And they were 420 years in bondage down in Egypt. But it come a time when it seemed like all hopes was gone. Are you hearing me? Here's Egypt and here's Israel in a land that's not theirs. Amen. Serving and laboring in a cold, amen, unbelieving atmosphere. Amen. It seemed that all hopes was gone. But there come a time, amen, that there was one man and one woman. Amen. And God created himself. Amen. Both male and female. There was one man and there was one woman who seemed to have faith in a historical God that spoke to Abraham in the time of crisis, and they believed that they could call on him and he would answer. Amen. And that was Amram and Jochebed, the mother and the father of Moses. So here's 2 million, amen, in Egypt serving under taskmasters, amen, under the burden, amen, in a cold atmosphere, amen, but there were 2 believers down there, amen, that were made in the image of God, that were made to subdue kingdoms, that was made to subdue every creeping thing, amen, that creeped upon the earth. And Amram and Jochebed, amen, were identified believers. Somebody shout identified. Believers. Identified believers. Amen. They were identified believers. Now, what were they identified with? They was identified, amen, with the vision of God that he gave Abraham in the book of Genesis 15 when he said, your seed will sojourn in a strange land, and after 400 years, I will bring them out with a great substance. Do you realize they were convinced, amen, that the same God that answered Abraham was the same God that would answer them? They were convinced, amen, that if God could come to Abraham in a time of crisis, that he could come to them in a time of crisis. You realize what happened? Genesis 15, amen, was more than a vision. It was more than a tape. It was more than a book. It was more than something God showed Abraham. But Genesis 15 became a reality, amen, to Abraham, to Amram and Jochebed. Are you hearing me this morning? Genesis 15 became more than a prophecy. It became more than a vision. nation, it became an identification. It became a reality to them that we're a part of the seed that's going to leave here with great substance. Amen. See, they could read it, Brother Doug. They could hear about it. But when they saw themselves, amen, in the vision, when they saw themselves as a part of the seed that was leaving there with great substance, it released a faith in their hearts. And they could stand there and say, whip us if you want to, and beat us if you want to. Hey, but one of these mornings... one of these mornings we're leaving here. Are you hearing me? And the prophet said, but a man's got to be convinced first. Let me say this. Amram and Jochebed were not doubting the vision. They were convinced of the vision. Amen. And the only convincing thing is the manifestation. Amen. Notice here, they called on God and God answered and God manifested in the time, amen, of crisis, which produced a convincing power. And he said that's the manifestation or the identity of the gospel being identified in you. Now, can I preach you for a minute? The identity of the gospel being identified in you. See, the gospel, amen, according to Abraham, which was the vision, become identified in flesh, Amram and Jochebed. I hope I'm saying those names right. And when you see that you have passed from death unto life and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, that's the identity of the Holy Spirit. He said, that's exactly right. How can the Holy Spirit write the Bible and turn around and deny what he wrote? He cannot do it. That's the identity of unbelief. So there's two identities here. There's the identity of belief. Then there's the identity of unbelief. See, the identity of belief is to read what is recorded in the scriptures and there find, amen, identification in what you're reading and then be convinced that what you're reading has not come from a man, has not come from a church, has not come from a system, but it has come from the source of all intelligence. And then you identify yourself with that and say, it is written. Now let it be. Are you hearing me? It is written. Now let it be. But the identity of unbelief is to read the written word and say that's not so. Amen. The prophet said, see, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them who believe. So identity of unbelief is to what? Deny the word. But the identity of belief, amen, is to believe the word. See where we're at? We're in an identity crisis right now. We're in an identity crisis where some people, amen, don't know what to believe. They don't know if you can trust this message. They don't know if Brother Branham was a prophet. They don't know if the seventh seal is open. They don't know if rapture and faith is in the church. See, they're under an identity crisis. Amen. They come to a crossroads, but they didn't consult, amen, the source of all intelligence. Amen. But there is a bride here today that the world, Brother Doug, and preachers and the Pope and the Catholic Church and the entire religious world is in a spiritual identity crisis. But there is a bride here this morning. She is not in an identity crisis. She knows who she is. Are you hearing me? Amen. I laid a foundation. Now can I preach it? Amen. She knows who she is. She knows where she come from. You know what the word identity means? The word identity means the fact. Somebody shout the fact. The fact of being who or what a person or a thing is. See, it's a fact that that is a piano. It is a fact that that is a speaker. It is a fact that that is a pastor. It is a fact that that is a monitor. Are you hearing me? Amen. Why? Because there's something there, amen, of supporting value. There's something there that'll back up that fact. And I say this morning, church, it is not an opinion that William Branham was a prophet. It is a fact. It is not an opinion that this message is the restoration of faith. It is a fact. It is not an opinion that the word has been opened in this generation. It is a fact this morning. Can I preach a minute here? It's not an opinion that you're saved this morning. It is a fact you are saved. It is not an opinion that you are redeemed this morning. It is a fact. Amen. The heavens echo it. The earth echoes it. The word echoes it. It is not an opinion, church, that we are the bride. It is a fact this morning. It is a fact. It is an evidence that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Now here's where the battle comes. Never lose your identity. Are you with me? Amen. Look at Amram and Jochebed. They knew who they were. They never took on the identity of unbelief. They never read Genesis 15 with a question mark. They always read it with a period. They never read it with a comma. Well, something could be added to it and something could be taken away from it. They read it with a period. They read it with an exclamation mark. It is written, now let it be. He said, you know what it means? It means this, that Moses was born a poor boy, real poor. Amen. His father, his mother, and they were real poor, but they were Christians. Amen. They worked hard. He said they was in slavery. They had to make mud bricks. And thanks for the old king. He said Moses' mother, Jochebed, had taken him and put him in a little raft out on the riverboat like that, and the old crocodiles had eaten up all the babies, and they were killing him, throwing him in the river. But she put him right out there, and you know how she got them crocodiles away from him? She made a little ark that she put him in, and she made it out of pitch. You know what it is? It's turpentine. He said an old gator would come up and say, a little fat Hebrew, I'll get him. Hear him crying like that. Went over there. Phew, what a smell. Are you hearing me? Here is Moses in a he's the first basket case in the Bible. Here is Moses, amen, in a basket, amen, as a baby in a crocodile-infested river, amen. Listen, and that mother put him in something, amen, brother. It was not hard for alligator to eat that basket. It was an easy job, amen. There was nothing more powerful in that basket than was in the jaws of that crocodile. But a prophet of God said, brother Doug, when that crocodile got up there, he smelt something. He smelt something and said, that smells awful. He said, see, the mother was led on how to protect the baby. So she backed off. So he backed off from it. He didn't want nothing to do with that. Amen. Now, can I preach to you for a second? He was not smelling, amen, just the turpentine. He was not smelling just the basket Moses was in. He was actually smelling, amen, the repellent of predestination. Amen. Because Satan, since the fall, was trying to destroy the seed, was trying to destroy Moses. He tried to destroy Jesus, and Satan tried. He said, one night laying on the back of a ship, he seen him asleep. He said, I'll destroy him right now, but he couldn't. He tried to tempt him into doing the wrong thing, but he couldn't do it. Why? He had been sprayed with the repellent of predestination. It cannot be deceived. There ain't no devil going to bother him. Listen, church, there ain't no devil going to bother him. And no other son of God that's predestinated to take his place. He is sprayed with a repellent. Satan's poison, denominational doctors don't even touch him at all. He moves right along. Amen. Nothing is going to bother him. Amen. Look at somebody next to you and say, predestination smells real good. Brother Doug, predestination smells real good. Amen. It stinks to the devil, but it smells good to the believer. Amen. It stinks to every demon power, but it smells good to the believer. Are you hearing me? How can you say that? Because there was something in there that put off such an odor that the devil said, I don't want nothing to do with that. You know what it was? He had smelt it before. Are you hearing me, church? He smelt it before when he come to Jesus. But he said, what is God's repellent? His repellent is the predestinated seed. Are you hearing me? His repellent is the predestinated seed. He, Moses, rejected the thrones and the popularity. He could have had young girls, wives by the hundreds. He could have had a scepter under Egypt and rule the world. But by looking in the scripture, amen, by looking in the source of all intelligence and seeing the day he was living in, oh God, help me. And know that something in him, that predestinated seed of God, went to work. See, Moses couldn't even defend himself, but there was a seed in there. Are you hearing me, church? There was a seed in there that could defend him. Are you really hearing me? Amen. You couldn't defend yourself a bit more than I could. Amen, brother Doug, when we was out in the world doing whatever, amen, the only reason we're here is not because of what we done, not because of what our family was, but because there was a seed on the inside of us that was a repellent, and the devil got near you. Oh, if the devil had his way, you wouldn't be alive this morning. If the devil had his way, you would be in a grave. You would be in a jail. You would be in a cell somewhere. But God, who is rich in mercy, Come on, church. Amen. I tell you this. Amen. Let me just take the brakes off and preach her for a second. Amen. Because I think the church is cooling off a little too much. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about we've got to a place to where we don't praise God like we ought to. We don't shout and worship like we ought to. You say, well, Brother Andrew, we're in the Word and the Word only. We don't need all that shouting. Amen. But here's the thing about it. Amen. The church cools off when she forgets what God has done for her. When she forgets what God has produced in her life. When she forgets where God brought her from and where she's at and where she's going is when the church cools off. But I say this morning, church, the devil don't like it, but we're still here. Amen. The devil's mad, but we're still here because there was a repellent. There was a repellent on the inside of our souls that said, devil, off limits. Are you hearing me? Devil, off limits. You can have that and you can have that, but off limits when it comes to this, because this is the predestinated of God. Now, how many actually knows here what a repellent is? You know what a repellent is. A few years ago, I was down in Florida and down at Brother David Mills, Danny Stevens Church there. And Brother David took us out that Monday morning to hunt in the orange groves there. And it was in Florida in September, and it was like 75, 80 degrees before the sun even come up. I mean, it was ridiculous to be sitting in a tree stand. But he said, there's a good chance you'll kill a deer. So, you know, deer hunters, we'll take the chance, right? Beats 22 degrees below zero. So we're out there, and I get out there that morning. Before I even get to the stand, I'm like, mercy, man, I'm going to sit in this all day. Brother David said, no. He said, here's you a thermocell. He said, when you get up there, he said, just sit it next to you in the stand and turn it on. And he said, it'll keep all the mosquitoes away from you. So Brother Doug, I got up in there and climbed up and got all settled down, turned that thing on. And about that time, got me. I was getting bit all over the place. Are you hearing me? I was getting eat up all over the place. I mean, it was like, this thing's supposed to work. This thing's supposed to keep them away. And here they're, all around me. So I text Brother David. I said, Brother David, amen, this thing ain't working. Amen, you have to come get me, because I ain't going to sit out here with these skeeters all day. He said, well, it may be out. He said, so there's an extra one under the seat. He said, just pull it out and put it in and then turn it on and let me know. So I pulled the new one out, put it in, turned it on. All of a sudden, all the zzz went away. Well, it was still dark. So when the sun come up, I never forget it. When the sun come up, about 15 feet around me was a whole barrier. Was a whole swarm of mosquitoes, but they couldn't get to me. They were buzzing and they were swarming around me, but they couldn't get to me. You know why? Because that thermocell was putting off an odor that they couldn't get past. It was putting off a smell that they couldn't get past. Are you hearing me, church? And do you see what's going on this morning? If you could see in another realm, there's demons all around. There's demons on every side, and they're swarming and they're buzzing. There's demons swarming around this church. There's demons swarming around your family. There's demons swarming around your home. Amen. But thanks be to God for the repellent of predestination. They can swarm, but they can't have you. Oh, come on, church. Won't somebody just tell the devil, you can swarm, but you can't have me. You can buzz, but you can't have me. You can sting, but you ain't going to sting me, because there's a repellent against you. Are you hearing me? Amen. You said, Brother Andrew, Moses was a predestinated seed. That's why the devil couldn't get him. And Jesus was a predestinated seed. That's why the devil couldn't get him. And the prophet said, and you are a predestinated seed. Just like Christ was. See, when the rain falls on the seed, the life produces itself when the Holy Spirit falls. Let me say it like this. Every seed must bring forth of its own kind. Genesis 1:11 said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind. Now look at what this word kind means. It means species. So every seed must come forth after its own species. See, notice God made man in his image after his kind, after his species, to be his word on earth, expressed it in Jesus Christ. What was God was in Christ. He said, see, and God in the beginning made man in his own image. And that's the kind of man that God makes today. Somebody say, a real man is made in the image of God. The seminary and the incubator hatchery turns out a bunch of hybrid seed. But when God calls a man, he's in his own image, the word made alive in him. See, what makes a son or daughter in the image of God is when the word is made alive in them. That's right.
Yes, sir.
So God made man in his own image. Then if a man denies God's word, how can he be in God's image? Just ask yourself, how can you be in God's image and deny God's word when the word is expressed image of himself? Oh, notice here, you got to be born, not joined. Amen. A new creature, yes, in his own image of his kind to be expressed with word on earth. Then what are you to be? Sons of God too, with the expressed word in the church carrying on. But if you're a God kind, oh my, can I preach to you for a second? That's the mystical body carrying on the same works the way Jesus did. Now you can have the Lutheran kind after the Lutheran, and the Methodist kind after Methodist, Catholic kind after Catholic, Pentecostal kind after its kind, oneness, Trinity after its. But if you're God's kind, amen, if you're God's kind, that's different. See, you are the expressed image of the word making itself manifest. Oh my, if the water falls on it, it's got to do it. Then what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you can't help be what you be. You can't help but be what you are. Are you hearing me? Amen. You, Brother Fred Mullins used to sing a song, be what you are and live the life. God knows your heart and you can't get by. I remember as a kid, Brother Doug, he'd get up Happy Valley and sing that song. And if some of y'all know Fred Mullins here. He'd get up and say, if you've been dancing on the barroom floor, he said, make up your mind and do no more. Are you hearing me? Amen. Because you're going to be what you are. Amen. See, a son of God is a son of God, not from the altar or from the crib, but he's a son of God from the thoughts of God, from the genes of God. Then when the rain falls, it only manifests what he was in the beginning. Are you hearing me, church? Do you see why there's a confusion? Oh, can I take some liberty here? You see why there's a confusion? It's because hybridism and education come in, and we left the principles of intelligence. We left the source of intelligence. Do you realize we got what they call intelligent people today? Telling us that babies are no longer babies. They are babies. B-A-B-I-E-S. T-H-E-Y-B-I-S. See, don't call them babies. Just call them babies. Then when they get older, then they'll determine what they are. See, it's in a crisis. Are you hearing me? We got 12-year-old boys, amen, with hormones raging and bodies changing and things going on, and they go to a doctor, amen. Now, you may get mad at me, but you forgive me, and some idiot tells them, well, yeah, you're a boy. You got chromosomes, says you're a boy. You got birth certificate, says you're a boy. Nature says you're a boy. Science says you're a boy. But you know what? You be what you want to be. See, it's a crisis. Amen. It's a perversion. And the water falls on the seed. Doesn't change the seed. Only makes the seed be what it is. And I say this, church. The Holy Ghost rain is being poured out in this last day. You know what it's going to do? It's not going to manifest Baptist kind. It's not going to manifest Pentecostal kind. It's not going to manifest Return Ministry kind. And Two Lord, are you hearing me? And Perusia kind. It's going to manifest, amen, God's kind, which is Genesis, the first chapter. Man was made in the image of God. See, what is God's kind? Can I say it like this? God's kind, amen, knows who they are, and they knows whose they are. Are you hearing me? Amen. Methodist kind, Brother Doug, is Methodist kind one day, and give them 5 years and they might be Baptist kind. And then give them 8 years and they might be Pentecostal kind. And then give them 5 years and they might be Are you hearing me? They never know who they are. They're living in a crisis. They're living under two different personalities, but the identity of belief has come in this age with an open book, amen, to declare to the church, you are not a church kind. You are not a hybrid kind. You are not a denominational kind. You are, amen, God's kind manifested on the earth in this generation. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. I'm trying to behave, but I'm telling you something. If dogs begat dogs and cats begat cats and chickens birth chickens and horses birth horses, then if God begins to birth, if God begins to bring forth, if God begins to reproduce, what's he going to bring forth? He's not going to bring forth a lukewarm, amen, sin-loving, amen, formal church. He's going to bring forth after his own kind. Oh, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying the identity of belief knows. The identity of a believer knows who they are, but the identity of unbelief wonders. You say, what are you talking about? Well, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus actually knew who he was. And the prophet said, but Satan wondered. He said, Jesus knew. Aren't you thankful for a simple prophet? Jesus knew. He knowed it. He knowed it by faith in the revelation of God's word in his own predestined life. Glory, I hope that soaks in your heart. Jesus knew who he was, but Satan was wondering. Jesus knew who he was, but Satan was wondering. He was wondering. Jesus knew because the Father, which was the Word, which was the intelligence, dwelt in him. Jesus knew the Word. Somebody shout, knowed. Knowed. Yeah, I just brought a southern term to the west. Knowed. Jesus knowed who he was. Therefore, I knowed who I am. Therefore, you knowed who you are. Therefore, you're not wondering, but you're knowed. Get out of here, devil. Brother Eli, I feel like shouting with you right now. Devil, get out of here. Amen. Cancer, get out of here. Sugar, diabetes, get out of here. Depression, get out of here. Mental afflictions, get out of here. We are not a bunch of wandering hotbed plants. We are some sons and daughters of God that knows who we are this morning by more than theology, by more than education. We know who we are by experience. We know who we are by experience and by revelation. There are some people here today that are not with question marks. They've got periods. They know who they are. They know where they come from. Can I preach down the aisle? They know what they believe. They know who called them. They know who saved them. They know who chose them. They know where they come from. They know where they're at. They know where they're going. They know in whom they have believed. Oh, somebody shout, I know. I know my Redeemer. I know he's my healer. I know he's my Savior. I know he's my peace. I know he's my joy. I know he's my victory. I know he's my rapture. Oh, brother. Somebody open up the door and let the devil out of here. I know. He's swarming, but I know he can't get to me. He wants me, but I know he can't have me. He wants my mind, but I know he can't have it. He wants my soul, but I know he can't have it. He wants my family. Now come on, church. There's got to be more than a wonder. There's got to be more than I guess. Come on. There's got to be more than I hope. There's got to be more than I think. There's got to be an authority come behind this. Somebody shout, I know. I know. Satan wonders, but I know. Are you hearing me? That's why you're looking at a 24-year-old boy this morning that's not afraid to quote a prophet, because I know there's authority behind those words. You can kick me out, you can burn me, and you can kill me, but I know this message is thus saith the Lord. You can call us fanatics, but there are some people. Well, let's just preach a while, why don't we? I know we got a lot of cowards around us today. Bunch of cowards. Amen. Men that went around the world and got world-renowned ministries off of this message and made all kinds of contacts. Amen. And made a bunch of money. Well, let's preach a second here. And today they ain't nothing but a bunch of cowards. They sit behind computer screens and YouTubes and have trials and all kinds of nonsense. But I tell you today, in the name of the Lord, You can have your trials. You can have your arguments. You can have your debates. But there are some predestinated seeds on the earth today that you're not going to talk them out of it. Amen, Brother Isaac. You're not going to shut them up. You're not going to back them up. You're not going to turn them around. They know. If you've got peace in your heart right now, that you know you ought to give God some praise. If you've got assurance in your heart this morning, I know it's settled. I'm saved. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I'm fire baptized. I'm son of God. I'm bride material. I'm gene seed of the living God. I know. I'm not shouting because I hope. I'm not dancing because I wonder. I'm rejoicing. It's settled in heaven. It's settled on the earth. It's settled in hell. I know who I am. Brother Doug, we ain't confused. We know. Hey, there's some people today that knows. Well, Brother Andrew, you got to remember what the prophet of God said. Satan was like a walking Bible. You're exactly right. But you're missing a big word, like. Amen. Satan was like a walking Bible, which means he could be and he could not be. But the same prophet said Jesus was. No opinion, no wonder, no theology. Jesus was the walking Bible. Ooh, brother. Now, can I preach to you for a second? Jesus wasn't nervous. Jesus wasn't nervous. He was standing still, for he knew where he was standing. He knowed. There's that word again. Somebody say it with me, knowed. Don't that feel good to say that? Knowed. He knowed that he was predestinated. He knowed he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He knowed that he was that person. Satan knowed it by knowledge, but Jesus knowed it by experience and by revelation. Listen, church, and there is a people here in the last days that knows their God. Oh, brother. Oh. Brother Doug, I'm about to put another door in this church. Are y'all hearing me? There are some people here today that know who they are. Do you know one definite witness of a true experience with God is when one can say, I know. Are you hearing me? Amen. Let's go to the Bible if you want to. Amen. Look at Job. He was on an ash heap. Amen. With bulls all over his body. But the Spirit of God come to him and give him a direct revelation that inspired him. And he stood up and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Are you hearing me? Amen. Let's go to John 4, where there was a woman at the well who had had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her own, but she met the Messiah. Yeah. And when she met the Messiah, you know what she left saying? I know that Messiah has cometh. Are you hearing me? Amen. Let's go to another one, shall we? Amen. A boy in John 9 who was born blind. His mom and daddy was against him because the Pharisees and the Sadducees teachings. But he stood there and they said, how these things happen? He said, by how it happened, I don't know. But one thing I do know. Brother, oh mercy. Brother, how could he say that? Because he had had an experience. He had met God. He knew. Brother, when he stood there and said, I don't know how but these things happen, but one thing I know, you know what? He wasn't guessing. He wasn't hoping. He said, let me tell you this. This one thing I do know. Whereas I was blind, I now can see. Whereas I once was blind, I now know I can see. Well, let's let's just go ahead and put our shouting shoes on, church, because there's some people that says, how, amen, can a man be picked up in seven angel consolation and receive the revelation of seven seals? How can a man be in Sabino Canyon and a sword come down in his hand? How can a man be on the Ohio River and a pillar of fire come down and say it's John the Baptist? Was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. Your message is going to forerun the second. How? Let me say this, Brother Doug. By these things, I don't know how they happen, but there's one thing I know. It happened. There's one thing I know, Brother JJ, it happened. There's one thing I know, Brother Eli, it happened. You say, how can you prove it? Because I know wherein I was confused. I now know what is truth. I know it, church. I believe you know it. You say, Brother Andrew, I feel something. I don't know what I'm feeling. Can I tell you what it is? Amen. You're bumping into angels. Are you hearing me? You're witness on earth what's going on in a supernatural realm. And signals are coming back up on the earth that there is a church in Tucson, Arizona with the name Love Divine that's not wondering who they are. They know who they are. Jesus knew Brother Joey was going to defeat his enemy. He wasn't guessing he was going to defeat him. He knew he was going to defeat him. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He knowed it. Therefore today, oh, brother. Therefore today, Jesus is defeating his enemy again through his bride. Do you know what we're having here this morning? We're having the devil's judgment. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. But it's the truth anyhow. Right here this morning, we are having the devil's judgment. You say, how can you say that? Because the prophet said no judgment comes without first a warning. Before judgment can come, a warning must come. Now, how many knows that Brother Bram was a gentleman? Now, oh, mercy. I'm running out of time, but I feel like preaching here for a second. Brother Doug, I guarantee you, if you go home and somebody broke in your house, you're not going to go in there and say, look, have a cup of tea, sit down in my easy chair. Now, I know some people would have to do this, but I know Brother Doug wouldn't. They'd have to say, well, just turn on the TV, you know. Should have kicked that out a long time ago. But you're not going to give them access to your house. You're going to give them a warning. You're going to say, now listen, I'm going to give you to the count of three, and then I got a 9mm here. Hello. Or whatever. I got a gun here. I'm going to give you a warning. But on the count of three, it's over. When we get to three, it's over. When we, oh God, thank you. I just caught some inspiration. When we hit three, it's over. Are you hearing me? Amen. Now, a prophet give the devil a warning. He come on the scene, and he found the devil trespassing in the church. He found the devil trespassing. Are you watching now? He found the devil trespassing, amen, on the flesh. He found the devil trespassing in the spirit. Amen. Then he found the devil trespassing on the soul. Are you hearing me? You know where I'm going. What is that? Three pulls. Amen. The first pull dealt with what? The flesh. Amen. The second pull dealt with what? The spirit. The third pull dealt with what? The soul, which is where the gene seed was, which is the habitation of the word. See, first pull was the devil's warning. Amen. Second pull was the devil's warning. But that third pull, on the eve of 1962, before he turns, amen, to 1963 and begins to preach the word, he says, Church of the Living God, here and on tape, do you know where I stand? Do you know where you stand? Do you know that you were called of God, that the Holy Ghost reigns in your heart, and every word of God is real to you? Oh, brother, how is Satan going to stand against that? How is he going to stop that from growing? How is he going to keep them signs from following it? Why, you could throw them in jail if you could. I don't care what you do, you done tried. They rotted in jails. They was fed to lions. They were sawed asunder. They were jerked to pieces. But you can't kill it, right? A church that's predestinated, those who he foreknew, like he did Jesus, he has called. And those he has called, he has justified. And those he has justified, he has already glorified and predestinated. And now, oh, devil, wake up. I'm going to read you the devil's prophetic warning from the prophet of God. And now, in the last days, with every seed sowed, everything in order, the world in its order, the time is shaped up, the church is in its order, the seed, the evening lights, the signs of, like he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, an angel of God, the Holy Spirit, coming down, moving, performing the signs like he did then. Malachi 4 promised he would send the last days what he promised, and we see all of it right here.
This battery.
He says, amen, 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 amen. Do you love him? Amen. He said, now watch. Sure, right here in the last days, a predestinated church, knowing where they're standing. They are sowed with the seed, and the Holy Spirit is in that church. And he says these words. He says, Satan, be careful. Amen. Who was he talking about? He was talking about you. Who is he testifying of? He was testifying of you. Thank you, brother. Amen. I'm going to have to replace batteries and a guitar today, but we'll get through this. Amen. Here in the last days, there is a church who knows who they are. And he says, Satan, be careful. Can I say this to the devil this morning? Satan, be careful. You're not dealing with another Eve like the first Eve. You're not dealing with a hybrid church. You have got God's kind on your hands. Are you hearing me, church? Hey, man, I think somebody right now needs to tell the devil, Satan. No, say it like you believe it. Satan, be careful. Satan, be careful. You better be careful, devil. Hey, man, any of you kids here ever heard your parents say, if you play with fire, you're going to get burnt? Ever heard that? If you play with fire, you'll get burnt. If you cross the road, you might get run over. So you don't play with danger. You stay away from it. Then what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, Satan, if you want to live. Oh, help me, church. If you want to live, if you want to survive, you better stay away from this bride. You better not come around her. You better not lay your hands on her, because she's not a dead wire with a dead current. She is a living wire with a living God, with a living current, with a dynamo flowing through her veins, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And we know. Somebody shout, we know. And somebody say, we hadn't forgot either. Now we're living in a time, and I'm coming to a close here, but we're living in a time we're in what they call a pandemic, right? It's a terrible thing. It's a pandemic. But can I tell you what I believe is happening, really? There's more than a natural pandemic going on. It's a spiritual pandemic. Now, there's a natural pandemic called COVID-19, right? It's very contagious. It's deadly. We're not making light of these things. But there's a spiritual pandemic that's more contagious than swine flu, than COVID-19, than all of them put together. It's called spiritual amnesia. It's a spiritual end time pandemic that is it's actually deadly. You say, what is amnesia? It causes you to be to a place where you can't identify yourself. So you can identify your pastor, and you can identify the prophet, and you can identify your favorite preachers, and you can identify, but you can't identify yourself. See, what's happened is you have gotten bit by spiritual amnesia. You say, now, Brother Andrew, what does spiritual amnesia come from? Well, there's three causes, the prophet says. The first one is shock. Somebody has something happen from wars and they get a shock. You know what the second cause of amnesia is? Worry. So shock causes amnesia, then worry causes amnesia. What is another cause? He said worry has no virtue at all. He said you just skip worry and accept faith. Well, somebody's going to shoot you in the morning, Brother Branham. Aren't you going to worry? No, it'll do me no good. He said, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to have faith and believe that God can deliver me. So shock, amen, causes spiritual amnesia. Worry causes spiritual amnesia. But here's the main one I want to drive home this morning is halting between two opinions. Getting between two opinions, he says, causes amnesia. You've lost your reasons. You've lost your mind. You don't know who you are. You can't identify yourself. You can walk around. You can eat and everything, but you still can't identify yourself. You have got your scholarly education, same education you had, but you don't know where it come from. You don't know who you are or where you belong. Now in 1 Kings 18 verse 21, the Bible says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between what? Two opinions. If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now can I show you what an effect that halting between two opinions can do? In a discernment, he says, how do you do? Do you believe with all your heart? You do, you're in trouble. You're not sick. Are you hearing me? Only you're nervous. You're upset. It's a mental distress like because you're halting between two opinions of what you must do in life. Yours is not a sickness. You have a child, don't you? It's a boy. You're having family trouble at home. Isn't that right? And you don't want a divorce in your family. And you don't know what to do. And you're not from this city. You come from Michigan. Is that right? Now you believe with all your heart that God will grant you your request. I pray there's only one thing you can do. She's in amnesia. She's halting between two opinions. And brother, amen, Brother John, there's only one thing she can do. A prophet says, that's believe on the Lord. Amen. Believe on the Lord. I'd advise you one thing to do. Go receive the baptism of the Spirit. Live for God all your life and everything will work just right. Now, if God can tell me what was your trouble and what is your trouble now, he can surely tell me the way out of it. Isn't that right? That's your avenue. Will you receive it? Come here. Lord, be merciful to this woman. Grant unto her that she may receive the Holy Spirit and may all of her troubles leave. Grant it, Father. I bless her for this purpose in Jesus Christ's name, that the baby be raised in a Christian atmosphere and both father and mother filled with the Spirit. He said, now your husband isn't with you, but when you go home, I trust God you'll find it different. Are you ready to believe you will? Are you ready to believe you will? Now, just as you believe that, now I know he doesn't, but I say when you go home, you're going to believe, you're going to find him things better. He's going to receive. You believe that? As you have believed, that's just the way it'll be to you. Amen. So her answer of coming out of amnesia was believing. Amen. So when somebody has amnesia, it causes them not to be able to remember. Somebody say that word, remember. He said, identify with their families in human life by marriage. What if this horrible thing would happen to you and you wouldn't be able to remember who you married? Who's your wife? Which is your children? Who is your father and mother? Who is your neighbor? But we're animal life. He said, notice here, we can identify ourselves in the human race by having intelligence. He said, the animal cannot think. He just goes by sounds. He has no soul. But we're animal life. But what makes us different, he says, is we are mammal, warm-blooded animal. We are in the feature of animal. But what makes us different, we're identified by having a soul. He said a conscience that tells us what is right and wrong. So that soul becomes the deciding factor between what is right and what is wrong, which is between two opinions. Now notice here, you remember Daniel chapter 4, what happened? Nebuchadnezzar, amen, actually forgot he was a human being. And the prophet said that was amnesia. He forgot he was a king. He forgot he was a human being. And he thought he was an animal. So he acted like an animal because he forgot he was a human being. And we forget today sometimes what the Christian church is. He says, because we have received, amen, the heart of the world. All right. So God's kind, how many members were God's kind? God's species. So God's kind is a people who have a heart after God. Are you hearing me? Look what Samuel said to Saul. He said, now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought after him a man after his own heart. Then what was David identified as? He was identified as a man after God's own heart, which was God's kind. Now this is where I want to drive it home and I'm done. Amen. Israel got spiritual amnesia. Here we find Israel had exposed, God exposed the world and had failed in this rut. But God, by his grace, had chose Israel from all the rest of the families on the earth. Grace had did that. And he said in the Bible here, he found her in the field as a little girl sitting in her own blood. And he washed her and cleaned her up. And what had he done? But after God showed all these mercies to her, she got rich. Amen. Notice what was Revelation 3:17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, knowest thou not that thou art wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Which means they were not dressed with the word. He said, see, but after God showed all of his mercies, she got amnesia. She forgot where these things come from. He said, I think that's a picture of USA 64. He said, it's suffering with the same disease. Can I say this? I think that's a picture of USA 2021. Suffering with the same disease. We are a great, powerful churches. We are great, powerful people. We are millions in numbers, but we have forgot where these things come from. So has God's people in these last days has forgotten what the testimony of being a Christian means. He said they can't identify themselves. Then they forgot about it. They forgot his holiness. They forgot his law. He said the women are living like the rest of the nations, right? He said Israel forgot the laws of God. And when they forgot the laws of God, they wanted a king over them like the rest of the world. He said, now you parallel that with today, and you see that when Israel forgot God and wanted a king, then they could no longer identify themselves with the supernatural things. When they got amnesia, they lost the ability. Oh, don't close on me. I'm going to close here quickly. I ain't going to preach all day. Amen. Listen, they forgot. They lost the ability, Brother Doug, to be able to identify themselves with supernatural things. Are you hearing me? Where are we at today? Listen, we've just come through what's probably been recorded in history, I'll say, as one of the most bumpiest elections ever been. Amen. More fussing, more fighting. Amen. More. Are you hearing me? Now listen, I don't believe that it's a requirement to go on the rapture to hate the country you live in. I know some people around the message think that if you have any heart at all for the country you live in, then you're a backslider. But I don't believe that. I actually believe a prophet was patriotic. Well, killed the meeting right there in 2 minutes. Is that okay? Amen. But notice this. The devil right now is trying to get us so caught up in what's going on out there that we forget who we are. See, now watch. Amen. Now I'm going to preach here for a second. Amen. Because we forget. All right. See, amen. Some people got so caught up in this election. Amen. We all hoped. Amen. The country wouldn't go the way it's going. But it's got to go that way. Amen. See, but people got so caught up in that. They got so caught up. Amen. In Trump. They got so caught up in this agenda and that agenda. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Any patriot would. Amen. But notice when something happened that they weren't looking to happen. Amen. When a woman got in office. Amen. And then they go to the message. And read word for word what happened on January 20th. They can't identify themselves with that because they've got amnesia and got halt between two opinions. But let me say this today, friends, as bad as I hate to see the path this country's on, there is still prophecy, and prophecy must be fulfilled. And may I announce to you today, church, we are not in spiritual amnesia. Yes, things didn't go the way we thought they would. Yes, things didn't go the way we wanted to see them go, but there's one thing that still remains the same, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this message is still the truth. What are you saying? I'm saying the power of God has returned this last day to identify who we are. To be an American, I must be a citizen born in this country and identify with this nation as an American. Whatever it is, I am because I'm identified with it. I'm identified with her glory. I'm identified with her shame. I must never forget, if I want to remain a true American citizen, I must never forget my identification. And remember, you're no more American citizen when you can't, When you can't become a part of it, when you can't become a part of something, then you're no more a part of it. That's pretty simple, ain't it? Amen. He said, I landed on Plymouth Rock. I rode with Paul Revere. I crossed the icy Delaware. I stood with Stonewall Jackson. I hosted the flag on Guam. All she is, I am. If she has done shameful things, then I have to stand her reproach. If she receives glory, I receive glory with her because I'm identified with her. Amen. Now, to be a true American, we must do that. But to be a true Christian, you have to be the same way. All that he was, I'm identified with him. I'm identified in him. Anybody here still God's kind? Anybody still awake that's God's kind? Here we go. We were with Abraham at the age of 75 and Sarah 65 when they were told they were going to have a baby. And Abraham took his stand up on this, saith the Lord. We was with Abraham in his temptations when he went up on the mountain to offer Isaac and when the ram appeared. We were with Joseph when he was rejected of his brothers because he was spiritual. We were with Jacob. We were with Jacob when he wrestled with the angel. We were with Moses at the burning bush when he went down into Egypt. When all the people turned against him, when he crossed the Red Sea, we was with him. We were with Elijah in the days of Ahab on Mount Carmel when they had to choose between God and Balaam. We were with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. We were with Daniel in the lion's den. We were with Jesus on Calvary. We died with him. We raised with him. Amen. And we are with him today in his same ministry, identified in him. We were with the disciples on the day of Pentecost. So I ask you this, where do you find yourself identified today? Are you halting between the identity of belief and unbelief? Or can you say, my identity is the Holy Ghost? I know who I am. Brother, I know who I am. You know who you are? We know who we are today. Remember when Brother Bram preached spiritual amnesia? Remember he told the story at the end of the tape. He said they got back from the war and he said them soldiers had had shock in the war. And he said they couldn't remember nothing. He said so when they stopped to get water, food, use the bathroom, everything, there had to be guards around them because they could wander off and get lost. He said, but there was one soldier. Said he got out there, Brother Doug, and he got to walking. And he got to looking around. And he got to seeing some flags and seeing some signs. They got to wondering where he was going. He said, then all of a sudden, he began to see some familiar things. And when he began to see those familiar things, he began to come to himself. He began to come out of spiritual amnesia. And the prophet of God said, what I'm praying today is some of us will step off and open up this Bible and start walking through the pages of it. Reading the written word. And identifying ourselves with it. As our music players come today. I know who we are. We're not halt between two opinions. We have an authority this morning. You realize if you get spiritual amnesia, it'll cause you to identify yourself with something else. But if you know who you are, you'll stay with the word. No matter how cold the church gets, no matter how formal something gets, no matter how hard the time of crisis becomes, if you know who you are, nothing can influence you against the seed on the inside of your soul. You know, I've come to this conclusion, Brother Doug. They're going to make videos. They're going to do all their nonsense. And you know what I've learned? I have learned You can talk to them and talk to them and talk to them. And some people, they love getting in battles on, you know, on the internet and stuff with them until they get carpal tunnel tunneling their fingers from typing. Arguing with people that don't believe and walked away and rejected the message. But you know what? I've come to the conclusion, you're not going to change them. But neither are they going to change us. Not going to change them. But neither are they going to change one of these God species that the Holy Spirit rain has poured out on these last days. Won't you stand to your feet with us today? Do you know who you are today? Do you know in whom you have believed? Are you still wondering, or do you know? Can you stand today and say, I know by experience and revelation. I'm identified in this word. We must be identified with the word sign. You know, it's something. The prophet of God preaches a message called Remembering the Lord. He says, they went to the well of refreshment. I don't think it's a coincidence we've got a term, refresh our memory. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think there's actually a reason why. Because the prophet said they got to a place that they were dry. They were almost in a backslidden condition. He said, but they got there to that well, which means of him that liveth and seeth him. And they began to drink. They began to drink in out of that well. And as they began to drink in out of that well, as they began to take in that water, it began to refresh them. The prophet said it was like an oasis in the desert. It began to refresh them. And he said, as they began to drink, they began to remember. They begin to remember what God done for them. They begin to remember where God brought them from. You know what we need to do tonight or this morning? We need to come to the well. Preachers, deacons, trustees, heard him say this morning, none are exempt from this plague called spiritual amnesia. He said a preacher can get it. He said a deacon can get it. If a preacher can get it, I know a young person can get it. If an elder that's been around this message for 50 years can still battle that disease, I know people that's just been born in this message can battle it. But you know what? Right now, they're working to get a vaccine, because they want you to be vaccinated against this plague. But you know what? This morning, there's a spiritual vaccine. It's a drink out of a well. Amen. Of remembrance. How many knows what it's like just to begin to remember? You ever just sit down and begin to go down memory lane? You begin to think about this and think about that and think about times you did this and places you went with your family, and you begin to refresh your memory. You know what happens? As you begin to refresh your memory, you begin to relive it again. You know what's going to help us the most is not get a new quote book and not memorize all the cliches in the message. But what will help us the most is to come back to the well this morning. Begin to drink from that well and begin to remember what it was like when you first got saved. Remember what it was like when you first got saved and nothing kept you out of church. Remember when you was oddball at your job and in your family and around your friends because nothing would keep you out of church. But now everything keeps you out. You know what you need to do? You need to drink from the well. You need to drink from that well. Remember when you come to church and you couldn't wait to worship God? You didn't care who was there, who was singing, who was playing the music, who was you was just there to worship God. You was just there to be in His presence. But now you come and, well, this one didn't do that, and that one wasn't there, and, well, this one ain't right, and Brother Doug preached too long, and I don't like that. But you know what you need to do? You need to drink. You know why you're sitting there in that condition? It's because you're identifying yourself with all the problems. But this morning, you can identify yourself with the promise. Would there be anybody here today who would say, Lord, I want to identify myself with the promise. I don't want to be the one identified with all the problems in the church. I don't want to be the one identified with all the gossip and all the criticism. I want to be identified with the identity of belief. Let's bow our hearts together this morning. Isn't God good to us? You know, sometimes I think that we forget what we should remember. And I think we remember what we should forget. And you realize there's things this morning that are binding people because they're remembering it. And if they would forget it, it would loose them. And there are things this morning that people are bound because they're forgetting things they should remember that'll loose them from that. Friends, this morning, the well is open. Our world today is in a crisis. People thought, well, when we get through COVID-19, the crisis will be over. And then we'll get through the election and the crisis will be over. And then another crisis. Can I say it to you like this? We're either in a crisis, coming out of a crisis, going into a crisis, or in between crises. We're in the hour this morning, the time of crisis. But God, the source of all intelligence, has come down this morning to call a conference. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, would there be one could say, Lord, I need a conference with you. I'm seeing the disease sign beginning to slip up on my life. I'm seeing the disease sign begin to slip up on my family. Maybe you here as a father, as a husband. Maybe there's something the word is convicting your heart about. And you're just totally ignoring it. But you know. You know that's why your family's moving the way it's moving. You know that's why things are happening the way they're happening. Would you say today, Lord, help me to come out from between two opinions. Maybe there's a young person here. Maybe you feel the pull, you feel the desire, the love to serve God, but your friends are pulling at you. Your worldly friends are pulling at you in school. And you're in between two opinions. You've got amnesia. You don't know if you're a Christian today or if you're a sinner tomorrow. But won't you just come this morning? Won't you come to this well of refreshment and let Him refresh you? Won't you just pull up a chair by the well and begin to drink? Begin to drink in the blessings of God. Begin to drink in the joys of the Lord. Begin to drink in that revelation. Begin to drink in that water that He said, I'll give you, that you'll never thirst again. Begin to drink in that artesian well water. Not broken cistern water, artesian water. Artesian well water that'll refresh you. That when trouble comes in the church, you'll not come into identity crisis and say, should I identify with that or with the word? You'll stay with the word. Brother Ramsey, when a little schism or something comes up in the body, you won't identify with that cliquish clan thing, but you'll stay right there with that word. Oh God, help us today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've seen hands up going all over this place in different places in this building this morning. Lord, I believe I'm preaching this morning to a church people, to a bride people today, Lord. Lord, I believe I've been given the privilege to stand behind this Bible desk and to speak to your kind this morning, your species. Lord, those that have been sprayed with the repellent of predestination. Lord, those that have been sprayed with the water of your word. Lord, there's a desire in our heart today, Lord. Lord, we find the world becoming identified with so many things. Lord, one day the Republicans are identified with the Republicans and then identify with the Democrats and independents and this. Oh God, our world is switching so much. Lord, one day the denominations are independent, and then the next day they're identifying with the Catholic Church, and the Methodists are independent from the Baptists, and the next day they're screaming, we're all coming together. Lord, they don't know. Lord, Lutheran kind has begotten Lutheran kind, and Methodist kind has begotten Methodist kind. But Lord, I believe God in this last day, I believe you are begetting a kind of people that knows who they are. They know where they're standing. They know you beyond theology. They know you beyond knowledge. They know you in the power of your resurrection. Now, Lord, I pray for every heart here today, God. Every hand that was raised, Lord. Lord, you see the battle they're going through. Lord, maybe their amnesia has not been caused by halting between two opinions. Maybe their amnesia has been caused by shock. Maybe something's happened that's shocked them so bad in their life or in their family or in their job or whatever, Lord, that they've become unable to identify themselves. Lord, maybe some here with amnesia that has come by worry, Lord. Lord, it's not their fault. We live in such a worrisome time, a worrisome day. Lord, worry from day to day. Worry about this and worried about that. Worry about the economy. Worry about our jobs. Worry about, oh, there's so much worry. That, Lord, that begins to become the preeminence of our mind. And we begin to lose sight of who you called us to be. But today, dear God, I'm asking you, Lord, whatever the cause is, I'm asking you to be the cure today, Lord. I'm asking you to open up the well of refreshment to every heart here today. Let them begin to drink of that water. Let them begin to drink of that oasis. Let them begin to partake of that until all the worry and all the shock and all the indecisiveness just flees from their minds. And they can leave this building today saying, I know who I am. Hallelujah. Oh, can we raise our hands this morning? Can we just raise our hands in his presence? Can you just say to him, Lord, refresh my memory. Lord, refresh my spiritual memory. Refresh it today, dear God. Remind me, Lord, of who I am. Remind me of where you brought me from. Remind me of what you brought me out of. Remind me of where you're taking me to. Remind me of what you have for me today, Lord. Refresh my memory today, God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's sing it together. Oh, I lift my hands and I bow my knee. Worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. Oh, I want you to just raise your hands, close your eyes, and sing it to him now. I need you, Lord. Won't you just remember the Lord right now for a few moments? Remember his mercies. Remember his provisions. Remember when it looked like there was no way, he made a way. Remember when it looked like it was over, he said it's just the beginning. Let him refresh you today. Let him refresh your experience. Let him refresh your heart today.
I need you, Lord, right now.
again. Oh, I need you, Lord. Need you, Lord, right now. Need you, Lord. Need you, Lord, right now. Lift my hand, bow my knees, and worship at your throne. Need you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Well, that sure dovetails with the direction that the Lord has been directing us here the last several months, and we're so thankful. He's an on-time God. We know that the admonition to our age was that there was a vision problem. Without a vision, a people would perish. And without vision, you can't identify who you are. Can't identify who the enemy is. Can't identify who God is. But there's a remedy in this hour. There's ISAF. Amen. And as we saw with Peter catching that great revelation in Matthew 16 of who the Lord is and who he would be throughout the ages. And then the Lord turned around and identified to Peter who he was. And we saw how that stuck with Peter to the point that his very last message was in 2 Peter, was how that God was going to build a church throughout the ages, each stage. And when he came to the end of that, he said that some, forgetting what manner of a man that they once were. So he showed that at the end of the ages that there would be an identity crisis once again. Aren't you glad this morning to know who you are, know where you came from, know what your purpose is, know what your destiny is, to know who you are, to know who your Father is, to know your place in this hour. We've caught up with the vision. It's time to walk in it. It's time to be the manifestation of what we've been looking at. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Oh my. We certainly do love him. Let's just worship him a little more this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So do we not have the Wi-Fi hooked up this morning? Or my iPad says we have no connection. That's all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. Maybe a little lower. There. Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. You're my master, you're my savior, precious Jesus. Like the fragrance that comes after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms, they shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Just sing it to him this morning. Amen. Just make it personal. Lord Jesus, precious Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. You're my master, you're my savior, like the fragrance that comes after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth. Shall all pass away, but there's something about.